All right. With that said, we are going to jump into our brand new series called Come and See. And if you missed my intro, the goal of this series is to prepare you to invite people to this, which is National Back to Church Sunday, taking place on September 21st. We're going to have a special service here and a barbecue outside afterwards. And so what I want to do for the next few weeks is prepare you to talk to your friends and your family and your loved ones, to make an invitation to church, and more importantly, to make an invitation to Jesus. Is there anyone here who feels like you're particularly good at sharing your faith? By a show of hands. Okay, good.
Wow.
Honestly, more than I expected. But that's great. That's good. I hope that you do feel confident and comfortable sharing your faith. Maybe not all of us do. Sometimes we're like, I want to talk to this person. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how they're going to respond. They might have a question that I can't answer. And sometimes what happens is we just don't say anything out of fear. And so that's why I prayed earlier that we would have the boldness to have the conversation. Maybe a little bit of an awkward conversation, an uncomfortable conversation, but necessary conversations. Because we want people to experience the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from a relationship with Christ. And so my goal for these next few weeks leading up to National Back to Church Sunday is to help train you, perhaps, or to give you some wisdom from Scripture about how we can engage in those conversations. So the first portion of Scripture we're going to look at is in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 779. John chapter 1, Pew Bible, page 779. And while you're turning there, just as a bit of context, this is very early in Jesus' ministry, and he's at a point now where he's starting to call disciples to come and follow him. So he hasn't yet really performed any miracles in John chapter 1. He's relatively new to the scene, but he's starting to call followers. And people are starting to follow him, and they're getting very excited about Jesus, and they're inviting other people and telling their friends. And that's the example we're going to look at today between two gentlemen, one named Philip and Nathanael. And this persona that we're looking at today, and it's in the title, Come and See the Skeptic. We're going to read about Nathanael, who is skeptical at first about Jesus and who he is. And perhaps this is someone that you could identify with. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who's just really skeptical about Jesus, and even more so skeptical about church or even coming to church. Maybe they're not particularly religious. Maybe they've had a bad experience before. But some people we talk to, they're just skeptical. They have doubts about church and about Jesus and about the gospel. Nathanael is one such person. And so we're going to look at what Nathanael says, or what Philip says to Nathanael, that is, it's so short and simple, but so effective, and perhaps the best thing you and I could say in a similar situation. So let's pick up in verse 43, John chapter 1, verse 43. Bible reads, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And now right here, you're going to see Nathanael's skepticism in verse 46. Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now you may have conversations with people, and maybe they say this out loud, or maybe they just sort of think it. Nathanael doesn't take issue with Jesus per se, but with where he comes from. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, there's actually not a lot in Scripture about this city of Nazareth. We know that that's where Jesus grew up, and he's often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, but raised up largely in the city of Nazareth. And Nathanael, without knowing much about Jesus, just kind of dismisses him out of hand because of where he's from. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, I don't think any of us like to have assumptions made about us like that, do we? Where somebody hears just a little bit about you and they just kind of write you off completely because of one thing that they've heard. None of us like that. But Nathanael's skepticism comes from that. Not studying Jesus, not anything like that, just Nazareth. Really? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, we live in a very skeptical time as a nation. There's a Gallup, it's a polling organization, and they do some polls every year about our trust in institutions. And so they ask you, how much confidence do you have in these different institutions? So higher education, television news, the Supreme Court, politicians, Congress, the medical industry, right? And then they poll every year and they ask people, how confident are you in these institutions, if you will? And you look at the chart for all of it's just plummeting. And trust in these public institutions is near all-time lows. Sadly, the church is on that list. Generally speaking, if you poll Americans, trust in the church as an institution is near all-time lows since Gallup started taking these polls. Specifically, in 1975, 50 years ago, when Gallup did this poll 50 years ago, they said 68% of people expressed a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the church. 50 years ago, 68%. This year, 2025, 36%. 36% of Americans, according to this poll, expressed a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the church. That's not without cause. Right? And while I don't want to be lumped in with every other church out there, by and large, people do that. And skepticism around the church, it could come from a variety of reasons. Certainly, there are enough headlines about moral failures in the church and scandals and corruption in the church, and that creates skepticism in people. Or perhaps people, you know what, I've been to church, and maybe they have a firsthand experience of abuse in a church. That could be. And that creates skepticism of the institution across the board. For a lot of people, they say, you know what, I go to church or I've gone to church, and I don't really feel like I connect with God, and I don't really feel like I connect with people. So what's the point? They're skeptical that church can be of any real spiritual good in their lives, and it could be a whole variety of reasons. But that skepticism, it shows up in people's behavior. And if you were here when I first started at this church, you remember we did a Sunday school series called The Great Dechurching. And it was another study that was done that showed that the United States of America is going through one of the greatest spiritual shifts in the history of our nation, greater than the great revivals of the 1700s, where tons of people came to faith. That pales in comparison to what we're seeing now. What the study found that we looked at a couple of years back is that 40 million Americans who used to go to church regularly no longer do. From the year 2000 to today, 25 years, 40 million people who were regular churchgoers now no longer go at all. And that is the largest spiritual shift in the history of our nation. Tremendous periods of growth spiritually in this country, but what we're seeing today dwarfs any periods of growth we've seen before. And a large part of it is skepticism. Skepticism that there's any point in going to church, that it's meaningful in any way. Skepticism that the people in church are going to be good and kind and live up to their values. Skepticism, perhaps, that what happened to me in another church is going to happen to me if I go to church again. There's skepticism. And the skepticism becomes behavior, where people say, you know what, I'm just not going to go to church. And I see statistics like that. And that's why I get so excited about things like National Back to Church Sunday. that it is a movement of hundreds, maybe thousands of churches across the country who are dedicating one day in particular to invite those people, those 40 million who used to go to church, to invite them back. Now, I will say, as a pastor, I appreciate skepticism, actually. I welcome it. You should be skeptical of churches. You should be skeptical of me. But skepticism, it is a cautious curiosity. That's how I would define skepticism, a cautious curiosity. What skepticism does is it asks questions. Now, people might say, well, I'm just skeptical. But if you make assumptions and dismiss something out of hand, that's not skepticism. True skepticism is that, you know, I'm curious, I'm cautious, and it asks questions, and it's exploratory, and it wants to know more. And that, thankfully, is the spirit and the attitude that we see in Nathaniel. It kind of breaks my heart when people dismiss our church out of hand without ever having come. Now, I realize people say, you know what, I've been to church, been there, done that, no thank you. I get it. I understand the skepticism of the institution. But like I said before, nobody likes to have assumptions made about them based on a little bit of information that may or may not be true, right? So how do we kind of overcome that? Well, look at what Philip says at the end of verse 46. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Maybe your friends or family would ask, can anything good come out of a church? Isn't church just a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of liars and a bunch of corruption and people who just want your money and people who just want to control you and people who are fake? And can anything good come out of a church? Look, some of those criticisms, it's legitimate. But look at what Philip says. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. What Philip doesn't do is he doesn't engage in this argument about whether or not something good could come out of Nazareth. Nazareth is a distraction in this conversation. It's not the point. What's the point of the conversation? Jesus. And so if you were to parallel people's skepticism today, and I get this all the time, especially now as a pastor, people, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about that church? Did you hear about that guy? Did you hear about what he did? And I think perhaps they want me to defend them or to answer for them or to take accountability for these scandals and things you see in the headlines. And I refuse to do that. And say, oh, you see Pastor so-and-so got into a scandal. That's awful. Let's talk about Jesus, though. Oh, did you see what this church did? And they're so messed up. Yeah, they probably are. Let's talk about Jesus, though. Because people like Nathaniel are going to get caught up in the distractions. Nazareth. There's no way. Church, please. It's very tempting to get into this. Look, Philip doesn't go, oh no, Nazareth is actually, it's actually become quite nice. It's gentrifying. They've invested in parks. Right? Like, he doesn't get into that because Nazareth is not the point. And so when people come and say, oh, church, you know, I've got some problems with church. Dude, so do I. It's not perfect. Like, aren't there hypocrites there? Sure. Well, I had an experience. You know what? Your negative experience, that's awful. And I'm sorry that that happened. But that's not skepticism if you're just going to dismiss church out of hand completely based on that. I love what Philip says. He doesn't get into this long-winded argument or try to defend Nazareth or anything. He just says, come and see. And if you have a skeptic that you want to invite on September 21st who says, well, I don't know about church, come and see. Come and see this church. Come and see these people, even if for 1 week. And I'm going to invite them to keep coming. Don't worry. But hey, come and see. Because by and large, when I hear people that come here and they're new and they're like, you know what, I didn't know what to expect when I walked in here, but I'm pleasantly surprised. And it's oftentimes not what they expected when they came in here. And I'm so glad that somebody said, come and see. and they did. But the most important invitation that we can give is not simply for people to come here, but for them to come to Jesus. People may come here September 21st and never come back. I hope that they get an invitation to Jesus through the message, even if I never see them again. That's ultimately what's more important. Nathanael takes the invitation. Philip says, come and see. Nathanael goes. Now let's look at what happens. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You notice Nathanael and Jesus, they both appeal to the same thing. Reputation. Nathanael appeals to the reputation of Nazareth. Whatever he knows about him, we don't know a whole lot about the city, but I guess it was not considered a great place. Nathanael appeals to the reputation of Nazareth and says, oh, please, Jesus, really? Jesus appeals to the reputation of Nathanael. And he says, basically, to paraphrase, look at this guy. I love this guy. This is a stand-up guy right here. Like, this is a Jew's Jew. There's no guile in this guy. I love this guy. He's speaking to Nathanael's reputation. He doesn't insult him. He doesn't condemn him. But he welcomes him with a compliment, even though Jesus knows he's already just like trashing and stereotyping his whole hometown. And Jesus doesn't come and say, hey, you got an opinion about Nazareth you want to share with me? No. He says, oh, this guy, Nathanael, I love this guy. He's a good guy. He compliments him. Nathanael in verse 49 is taken by surprise. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, sorry, let me go back one. Verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? You're talking like you know me. How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw you before Philip even told you about me. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Then Jesus says this in verse 50. He answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Jesus says, look, you believe just because I said I saw you under the tree? And you believe because of that? You're going to see greater things than these. In verse 51, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. When people come to Christ, even the most hardened skeptic can be made into a disciple. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That even the most hardened skeptic, with all the objections and all the assumptions and all the reasons to not come to church and not come to Christ and not put your faith in the gospel, even that person can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. What we need to do is not to win arguments. We can have those discussions, but our goal is, hey, come and see. Because at the end of the day, who is it that changes people's hearts? Is it me? No. Is it you? No. It's God, ultimately, who will change people's hearts. So as we engage with friends and family who may be skeptics, the best thing that we can do is invite them to come and see. Come and see this church, certainly. Come and see this community. You'll be pleasantly surprised. But more importantly, come and see Jesus. And what I find time and time again is when people start engaging with the Word of God and they start reading it for themselves, they find what Nathanael found. They see themselves in the Word of God, like, wow, like this book describes my life so well. This book is spot on. I remember when I was an early Christian, I start reading the Bible, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's spot on. That's spot on. It describes me, it describes us, it describes the world that we live in so well. And that's what people will see when they come to Christ. That Jesus understands them and knows them better than they could imagine. Jesus understands them far beyond any assumptions they may have about him. And how wonderful is that? That you and I have an opportunity to invite people to that kind of relationship. That's incredible. It can be discouraging talking to skeptics. It's discouraging when you see that 40 million Americans have stopped going to church. It's discouraging. I saw it on your faces a minute ago when I said that trust in the church is at all-time lows. I literally saw your faces drop. And those things are discouraging to me too. But I'm also encouraged because I know, like Nathaniel, when anyone has an encounter with Jesus, their life can and will be changed. And I know how many of you in this room right now are a testimony to that fact. How many of you were skeptical of Christ? How many of you were skeptical of church and the gospel and the whole thing? Probably all of us to some extent. But we decided one day, perhaps at someone's invitation, I'm going to come and see. And you did. And the experience you had with Christ, much like the one that Nathaniel had with Christ, changed your life. And can you imagine the rest of Nathaniel's days walking as a disciple of Jesus? Imagine if he had said no. Imagine if he had just dismissed it, what he would have missed out on. But you're already here, right? You accepted the invitation. Your role here is Philip. You're the Philip. Philip, who came to know Christ and was so excited, says he had to go run and tell Nathaniel. That's you. And many of you are already doing this, and that's why the church is growing. We're not doing any marketing. I don't know if you knew that. We are not running ads. I'm not putting anything in the paper. We don't even use social media. And our church has like tripled in size in the last 3 years. It's not because of me, maybe a little, but like it's because you are out there inviting people and somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. You're being Phillips. You're coming to Christ. You're growing in your faith. You're getting baptized. You're getting excited. You're like, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell people. That's fantastic. Invite them to church. We'll invite them to Christ, and lives will be changed. The next few weeks, we're going to look at a few different personas and how we might engage people in our lives that have different perspectives. Excuse me. Sorry. Have different perspectives and points of view. But let's pray as we invite people to church, September 21st especially, that they be invited to a relationship with Christ, life-changing relationship with Christ. If you missed it at the beginning, we have these flyers. We printed up 100. We're probably going to have to print more. As I close, Naomi has them up here. We're going to make digital versions too so you can text it out. But as I close, pray about who you want to give this flyer to. Maybe take a few. Take 3, 4, 5, and if we have to get more, we'll run off more, no problem. But as we close, pray about who you want to invite for September 21st. Maybe it's a spouse, your kids, your adult kids. Maybe it's a neighbor, whoever it may be. But this is an opportunity for all of us to have this sort of Philip moment. We're going to invite people to come and see. And I genuinely believe God is going to do something incredible 5 weeks from now. People are going to come, they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to put their faith in Christ, like Nathaniel, and their lives will be changed. So as we conclude in prayer, let's pray for that specifically. If you would like a flyer, Naomi has them here. We'll give these out. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, to look at this brief but impactful discussion between Philip, Nathaniel, Jesus. I pray you would help us to engage with the skeptics in our life, in our lives. Those who maybe think they've got church figured out, those who maybe going by assumptions of what church is or who you are, who God is. I pray that, Father, you just give us the boldness to invite them to just come and see for themselves, that they wouldn't make decisions based on assumption, but based on their own experience with this church, and more importantly, with Jesus. I pray for the people that you've already laid on our hearts. I know there's probably every one of us has someone or a few people that we wish were sitting next to us today. And so I pray for each of those names. I don't know them all, but you do. I pray that you would use each one of us in this room to reach those people these next few weeks. Pray that you would bring them here on September 21st. Pray that they would hear the gospel that day. I pray that they would continue to come back, that they would grow in this church, and they would grow as your disciples. We just pray for all of this that's going on, that you would use it in a mighty way. We know that it has no power without your hand upon it. So we humbly ask for your help. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite Jamie to come and conclude the service.